Luke 10:38. Last time we saw, as Jesus was talking to that lawyer and about who was your neighbor, if you remember, we discovered that everybody is our neighbor, didn't we? We discovered the power of the teachings of Jesus. And now we come to this passage of Scripture and we discover, yes, we need to be focused on people and their needs. And by all means, we need to be careful that we do this. If we don't do this, then our Christianity doesn't mean very much. But there's another focus that God has for us. And this focus is extremely important. We're going to see how important it is as we look at this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 10. In Luke 10:38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So today I want to talk about the good part. And as we look at Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. Later on, Lazarus was one who actually died and who Jesus rose from the dead. So these were friends. They were close friends. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is a different Mary. And this Mary was one who seemed to had got something right in her Christian experience, in her walk with Jesus Christ. So we have Martha and Mary, two sisters, and often Jesus would stop at this home. We could see that as we go through the Gospels, that this was one of those places where he actually got a little bit of respite and a chance to have a meal. And so as he entered this village, certain village, which was actually the village of Bethany, which is not that far from Jerusalem, there was Martha who welcomed her into the house. And when we see this, it tells us that Martha was the older sister, because she would be the one who would be doing the welcoming. And so Martha was the older sister, and she welcomes Jesus to come into her house. And then there was Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So when she heard that Jesus was coming, Martha gets excited that Jesus is coming to the house, welcomes him in. And generally with Jesus, who came along with him? The disciples. So we're having guests for dinner. We're having a lot of guests for dinner. You know, probably at least 13 and maybe a few others on top of that. And they're all coming for dinner and I've got to get ready. And I have to get everything just so. So I have to get busy and get this done. And it doesn't say that Mary was loafing around before they came. But as soon as Jesus gets there, Mary does something. Looks like she stops working, and she gets down at the feet of Jesus and begins to listen to what he has to say. In the meantime, what's Martha doing? She's got a lot to do here. She has a lot to do, and there's her younger sister over there sitting down. You ever felt like that sometimes? Isn't it easy to look at what somebody else is doing or not doing? And doesn't it often get you bent out of shape? If only they would smarten up. How come they're not helping me? How come they're not doing this? How come they're not doing... You know, often we do make judgments, friends. And sometimes we don't have the whole picture. And sometimes we don't have the whole story. And Martha didn't. Martha was so obsessed with getting everything just right to serve Jesus that she forgot about Jesus himself. She missed the time she could have had with Jesus. So here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and here's what she says. She approached Jesus. She says, I got a problem here. Now, she didn't go to Mary, and maybe she did. I don't know. But at least she comes and she says, "Jesus, Lord, do you not care?" So now, how far has Martha gone with her problem? So Mary's the problem, but now who else is the problem? Who? Jesus is a problem. What does she say? "Lord, do you not care?" So now, not only is married a problem, so is Jesus. I'll tell you what happens, friends. When you get a wrong way of thinking towards somebody else, you've got a wrong way of thinking towards God. That's what happens. You get estranged to other people, you're going to be estranged from God too. Your whole view is going to get warped. That's what happened to dear Martha here. I don't want to pick on her too much because she was trying her best. But I want you to know something. God is not interested in your best. God is interested in you. There's a huge difference. He's interested in you as a person. He's not just interested, how much output can that person do in a day? He's not a CEO that has a company and says, oh, on the sheet here it says that person's not doing quite enough here. So I'm not interested in that person anymore. Fire that one. Get me somebody who puts more output. Martha was putting out 110% output. But she had lost any connection with Jesus. As a matter of fact, it more than lost a connection, she was angry at Jesus. Do you get it in that tone? Don't you care? Of course Jesus cared. But Jesus is more interested in us as people than he is in what you're doing. He wants who you are before what you do. Now, what you do is important. Don't misunderstand me. But that is second to the relationship that he calls you to. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're missing it all. You're missing the real point of what Christianity is, friends. So here's Martha, a wonderful lady, and she was a wonderful lady, a lady who invites Jesus and his entourage into their house, a lady who's willing to just work her fingers to the bone. So, you know, those are all credible things to say about Martha, and I want to put her in the best light I can. But there was a problem, and the problem was that it was about what she was doing rather than who she was serving. We need Jesus. So Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him teach. That's what it says here, right? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was distracted with much serving. It's an interesting word, distracted. That tells us that even though she was serving and she was going at it full tilt, she was actually distracted from the person who was in her home. She was missing time with Jesus. Do you miss time with Jesus? You know, even in churches sometimes, you can have people who are so busy. Oh, they get their finger in every pie, and they're doing everything. And if they're not doing everything, if something else comes along, they're going to do that too. They never seem to know that you don't have to be busy, busy, busy all the time. And that, now, some people, there's other people that never do anything, right? That's true too. And if you could say, well, yeah, well, they're really focusing on Jesus, that would be wonderful. But sometimes that's not the case. But here's Martha, so distracted and so busy that she missed the relationship with God. And listen, I can tell you something. As a preacher, I can get very busy. And I can get busy doing a lot of things and miss my quality time with Jesus Christ. And when I do, it's not long before I take a nosedive because I need him. I need Jesus. Listen, I'll tell you a little secret. You need God more than he needs you. Did you get that? You think the God of the universe really needs you in the sense that somehow, you know, maybe the world's going to stop ticking if you're not doing certain things? No, you need God more than he needs you. And I am so glad that his heart is towards me as a person. It's not what you do that makes you important. Did you get that? Not what you do, it's who you are. But we have valued, our whole society values that what we do makes us important. Oh, this person's a doctor. This person's a lawyer. This person has a big house. This person's important. This person's a politician. This person, well, you know, I mean, they dig a ditch. Not as important. But it's not what you do that makes you important. It's who you are. And yet, the world society bases it on all of that. How much money you make really often determines how important you are. But not in God's eyes. It's you that God's interested in. You as a person. This is what he's interested in. He's interested in you. And let me encourage you, let me challenge each one of us here to make sure that we are those who are honoring the Lord, who know the Lord and are walking with God. And so, here's Martha concerned about the doing to the point where she missed the person. Now, by all means, there has to be some doing go on. There has to be work and service and helping others and doing whatever needs to get done. It should be done. But somehow, she missed it. Don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. So therefore, tell her to help me. So not only was she alienated from her sister, she was alienated from Jesus in the sense that she was accusing him of not helping him. And then she goes a step further. What's the next step that she gets into? Telling God what to do. Isn't that something? You see the three things that are here, right? Telling God what to do. Tell her to help me. Whoa. Martha, come on down off that high horse a little bit. You don't tell God what to do. But sometimes not only Martha does this. Listen, friends, let's not just pick on Martha Day. I want to pick on you Day, too, and me Day. Because we do the same things, friends. And sometimes we're not happy with the way God has arranged circumstances. And we complain to him, but we do more than complain to him. We insist that he does things our way. And if he doesn't do them, well, we're angry at him. So take it to heart for ourselves, too. How easily and how sometimes we can end up doing these very things that Martha did here. So Jesus had an answer for her. Of course, Jesus said, right away, Martha, Mary, get up and get at it, will you? Is that what he did? Nope. He addressed her problem. She thought Mary had a problem and Jesus had a problem and she was full steam ahead. Nope. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I can almost picture her saying it, right? She didn't just say Martha. She says, Martha, Martha. It's like, Martha, stop here. I got to say your name twice because you're just rattled here, Martha. You're just flying. Martha, Martha, slow down. Pierre, slow down. How much often we need to hear God say to us, slow down. Hey, chill out. Take it easy for a bit here. You're going to blow a gasket. Slow down here. Wait on the Lord. And so what happens? He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Many things. Now notice here, she was just had one problem, right? But Jesus knew this was the outcropping of a worrisome heart. This was the outcropping of somebody who was trying to manage so many things that they were running out of hands and fingers and toes to get it done. You are worried about many things. So Martha, you're concerned about too much stuff. You're overwhelmed about too much stuff. But then he says, but one thing is needed. Martha, with all that you're doing and all your busyness, you're missing one particular thing. And what was it? It was what Mary had chosen. Martha, everything that you're angry about Mary about is the very thing that you need in your life. Martha, you're missing spending time with me. That's the problem. So here we have Jesus giving the answers for what's needed. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. This is exactly what it is. This is what was needed, and this is what Mary has. Mary had chosen the good part, and it's not going to be taken away from her. So he says, Martha, you're going to have to back off from Mary. She's exactly where I want her to be. And why don't you just come and sit alongside of her for a bit, Martha? So what if the dinner gets a little cold? That's not the end of the world. So what if everything isn't all mind P's and Q's exactly the way you think it should be, Martha? You just need to take some time to be with me. Can I encourage you to take the good part in your life? Can I encourage you to be still, the Bible says, and know that I am God? Can I encourage you that that's the place to be? More important than any other part is to be at the feet of Jesus. It's to be in prayer. It's to get to know your God. It's to walk with Jesus Christ. Everything else, it's not going to matter at the end of it. You eat a meal, not long before it's gone back out the other end, it's over. Right? It's just poof and gone. Whatever you do is temporary. You work at a job, someday your job will be over. Everything in this life is temporary in its nature. But what's eternal is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what matters. That is the good part. That is the focus of Christianity. It is a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It is sitting at his feet and getting to know him. Why is it such a good part? Well, for one thing, is that this is an eternal part. The rest is temporary. That's one good reason why it's the good part. Another reason why it's the good part is because I'm spending time with the God of the universe, the one who knows everything, the one who sees the future. You know, there's an interesting story here. Three times in the Bible we read about this particular Mary. Just three times, not that often. But each time, here's where you find Mary. Look at where we find Mary here. Mary's brother Lazarus had died. And they were grieving. They had sent for Jesus. He didn't come in time. He was dead. He was dead 4 days. And they were grieving about it. And Jesus finally shows up at the end of it all. And Martha, when Mary hears that Jesus is there, Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. And she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. So here, what's she doing? Where's she at? At the feet of Jesus, and she's crying out in her agony. She went to the right place, and guess what happens in this story? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So when we are totally distressed and totally overwhelmed and totally broken and full of grief, there's a place that we can come to, and that's at the feet of Jesus. That's the place to come. When our hearts are breaking, when grief overwhelms us, bring it to the feet of Jesus. But Mary knew that. Mary knew that that was the place to go because she had been there already. She was at the feet of Jesus when things were going well, so that when things went south, she knew that's the place she had to go to again. But then we look at the next time that she's at the feet of Jesus. And this is after the resurrection of Lazarus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, they made him a supper, and Martha served. There's Martha serving. Beautiful. I won't take away from that. She was there to serve. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. That's her brother. And Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So here's where she at again? At the feet of Jesus. What's she doing? She's pouring out everything that she has. This is a year's worth of wages here that she pours out on the feet of Jesus. Judas Iscariot, it says here, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, John 12:4, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Somebody was being critical. Martha was earlier, now it's Judas. But we discover that Judas' intent was this. He said not that he cared for the poor because he was a thief. And had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Judas Iscariot wasn't a good apple that went bad, friends. He was a bad apple from the beginning. That's important to understand that. He was a bad apple from the beginning. The Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 6, haven't I not chosen you 12? But one of you is a devil. He knew who Judas Iscariot was really like. And so here he was, the thief, who brings out the big accusation. Look, she's wasting. What a waste. What a waste to be pouring all that perfume on Jesus' feet. It should be given over here to the poor. Should be put in my pocket, is what he says. Oh, he was just crying tears. Look at that. What a waste. I could have that money. That's what he was saying, right? Never mind the whole excuse about the poor. That had nothing to do with it. I could have had that money. And it's just getting poured on Jesus' feet. What a waste. Listen, it's a waste. It's a waste in the eyes of the world for you to devote yourself to serving Jesus Christ. I was at a Bible study one time as these people came to visit, and we're at the Bible study, and we were started to sing, and we were singing a Christian song, and there was a lady there that had come to visit. She said, "Ah, what a waste! What a waste!" I don't know what she was talking about. She said, "You have a wonderful voice, and you're wasting it. You could be singing country and Western music. You could be, you know, you could be a music star of some kind. What a waste!" I thought, oh my goodness, she didn't see the value of singing for Jesus Christ. That's not a waste. That's real life. I would rather waste 1,000 lifetimes at the feet of Jesus Christ than do something that's so temporary and so fleeting in its nature, which so many have chased after and found it to be an empty thing. It isn't a waste to pour out your life on Jesus. The interesting thing about this little story here is here's what it says. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." What does Jesus say? Listen, she knows I'm going to die. Now, Jesus had been telling his disciples for almost 3 years, "I'm going to get crucified. I'm going to get buried. I'm going to be down in the ground for 3 days." And he told them over and over again. But you know what? The disciples didn't get it. But somebody got it. Who? How? Why did she get it? And the disciples didn't get it. Why? She was at his feet. She was there intently, eagerly, listening to the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to be at the feet of Jesus, because then you'll have a proper view of things. You'll understand things the way they really are. You'll understand yourself what you really are. You'll know what a sinner you are, and you'll know what a wonderful God he is. You'll want to pour out your whole being on him and worship him, because you understand the value of Jesus Christ. He is more valuable than all the gold and the silver of this world. He is more valuable than what you do. He is more valuable than anything. And Mary saw that, but not only did she see that, she saw more of the plan of God than anybody else around her, because she was spending time with God. God has a plan. He's got a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. But if you're just going to bulldoze through life and think that you're, you know, I'm doing God a favor, you know, and you're carrying on, and you're missing God's real plan for you, what a waste it is then. The real waste is when you don't surrender your entire life to Jesus Christ, when you don't spend the time to be at his feet and discover who he really is, and discover what his plans are and his ways are. Ah, yes, Lord, take me to your feet. The good part. Mary chose the good part. And I pray for every one of us that we would choose the good part. Choose the good part first. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, run to Jesus. Come to the feet of Jesus and be converted first. If you're not converted, everything else doesn't matter, because you have to have this interaction, this transaction with Jesus Christ, where you allow him to come on the inside of your life and take over, where you believe that he is the one who died for your sins, that your sins are paid for, a home in heaven is yours, and God comes in. But then from then on, get before the Lord and be at his feet and discover the joy of being with Jesus Christ. Mary knew what it was to be at Jesus' feet. She knew what it was to choose that good part that we see here. And here's the promise that he gives here, ain't taking that away from her. A lot of other stuff will be taken from you, friends, but God will never take away the privilege of being at his feet if that's where you want to be. In other words, there's an open invitation at the feet of Jesus for you this very day. Don't hold back. Come, serve him. Let him have his way with you. Not long ago, I was speaking to a guy, and he said, "Well, you know, what are you doing these days? You know, this guy's, you know, he's kind of a semi-politician. He has been, and anyway, businessman, all that kind of stuff." And I said, "Well, you know, in the process of planning a church in Cheticamp, last thing we need is more churches. We got enough of them around here." I said, "Well, you know, I think that churches where people gather together and love Jesus Christ, that's a waste of time and a lot of foolishness. That was his opinion, right? And it may be that opinion. A lot of people have, you know, said, you know, you could be doing a lot of other things. How come you don't get in politics? Remember another guy come to me. He says, you'd make a good politician. I got thought thinking, well, it must mean I'm a good liar. He said, how come you don't get into politics? He said, boy, you know, you could do something in politics. You could make a difference. I can't step down from the calling of God to go into politics because this is the better part. Because I want people's souls to be saved. I want people to be populated, heaven to be populated with Invernessers and Shetty Campers and Margriers and Pleasant Bayers and Dingwallers and wherever. I want them to be in heaven. And I want them to know God. And I want them to grow with God. And I want to grow with God together. And I want us to know the truth of real love and compassion and becoming a family who loves one another and cares for one another. A church that is a family. And a church that is full of love. And a church that reaches out and loves our communities. I can't think of a better part than that. And all the while, falling more and more and more in love with Jesus Christ in the process. Choose the good part. Amen. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for its truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can look in the Word of God and how exciting it is to look into God's Word and discover you teaching us and revealing truth to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll pour out your blessing, Lord, on each person here, and that every one of us will choose the good part. And Lord, that's a daily choice too. Some days I don't choose the good part, and those aren't such good days, Lord. But we pray that you'll draw us, Lord, you'll show us the most important things, that we won't get scattered, and we won't, Lord, miss the real blessing of being with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us here. Bless our food and bless our fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're done. Please stay for lunch. There's always lots. So come stay and enjoy and fellowship with one another.